And today our second reading comes from the book of Philippians. It's a hymn that existed in the very early church to the best of our knowledge. There's some debate about that. But hear these words that Paul speaks to the Christians there at Philippi. He says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing of the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being full of accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God so highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more so now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you to will and to work for God's good pleasure. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on us. Lord God, that your word may not return empty. Amen. So I have readings I just love this morning, but I want to go off on a strange little tangent on the reading that's right before us, this reading from Philippians, because I came across a biblical scholar, and it's long enough ago, and I wasn't able to track him or her down again, so I'm not even exactly sure who it was, but someone who helped me to understand this passage said that actually we have been mistranslating this for a very long time, that we have kind of held that Jesus, though he was equal to God, did not find equality with God as something to be grasped after, as something to be held onto, which has always kind of left in my mind the sense that there's a different God than the God that there is that is revealed to us in Christ, and that Jesus is kind of an emptied out God. And I've never been comfortable with that, but this person said that actually a better translation for what's happening here is that that Jesus, though being fully equal with God, realized that equality with God is not in grasping, but equality with God comes through humbling and taking human form. So it is not being somehow less than God that brings Jesus to incarnation, but it is being fully God that brings Jesus to incarnation. And in human form, it is not Jesus somehow being other than God that takes the path that leads to the cross, to crucifixion, to resurrection, to our salvation. But it is exactly being who God is that would take that journey to Calvary. That Jesus is not somehow lesser than, but Jesus really is the full expression, the absolute, genuine God, and there is no other. And I come to this passage this day, and I hear these beautiful words of Paul, And when I look at it through that lens, I find that this thing just opens up possibilities in my understanding of what it means to be human and of what it means to be in relationship to the divine in ways that are genuinely humbling to me. Humbling in that sense of being invited to know truly who we are and what it is we're capable of. And so when Paul goes on to say, yes, and now, in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you to both will and to work for God's good. We are this blessed people, empowered by God, truly empowered by God, to, in humility, being exactly who we are, able to work out God's purpose in the here and now. We are able to do this thing because we are together. We are able to do this thing because we can stand apart from grasping after power and seek to be genuinely godlike as we find our way into service one to another. We're coming to the final Sunday in this Experiencing God in Creation series, and Michael gave me a great challenge this week. He wants me to talk about dirt. So there's a lot of dirt out there to talk about, I'm telling you. I open up the newspaper, it feels like it's full of dirt, but we're not talking about that kind of dirt. We're talking about dirt, the stuff that you grow vegetables in. It's been kind of fun. Karen was actually listening to a guy who talks too much about gardening, who said it takes 100 years to grow 1 inch of topsoil. And I thought, that seems awfully fast to me. So I started looking into it, and it's actually it takes 500 years on average to grow a centimeter of topsoil. Is what most of the experts are saying. And it kind of depends on where you're at. So around here, where the vegetation is lush and there's a lot going on, and we're beneficiaries of glacial movements, and a whole bunch of our rocks were already eroded away by the glaciers and by the tremendous amount of rain, and for times where there's been a lot of freezing, and so we have a great plant life. We get lots of trees. They give off lots of leaves. They're dumping fruit. The birds are picking it up. We got all that going on, and we build soil pretty rapidly here. And they say that probably around here we're growing about 1 centimeter every 300 years, whereas if you're talking about in a desert situation, if we're talking about something like Death Valley, it's probably going to take 100,000 years or more to grow a centimeter of soil, and that assumes that there's no rain or wind that comes in and blows it away, or rain that comes in and washes it away. And so when I think about it, I remember one time saying that at the very core of it is it's like this big ball of steel, I guess, or iron, and it's actually solid. And there's some argument that there could kind of be kind of a thermal nuclear reaction happening at the core of the Earth, which keeps the whole thing going. But then around that is spinning the magma chamber, which is very big. And then when you get the whole crust of the Earth, and so the Earth is just a little over, right at 8,000 miles in diameter. And on top of that mass of rock and molten metal and whatever else it is composed of, there's a layer of dirt. It's on average something less than 4 inches thick around the whole of the planet. And upon those 4 inches rides the possibility of life. It is into that 4 inches that a seed falls, that it sends forth its roots. that it brings up its shoots, that its roots penetrate into the stone and begin to break away and to make more soil. It's in these 4 inches of soil. Upon 4 inches in an 8,000-mile line, the last 4 inches on either side, make the decision about whether or not we live or we die, whether or not the other creatures that God has entrusted to us and to take care of the earth with us, whether or not they survive or they do not. I don't think of dirt as being something that is infinitely precious. And yet, my friends, in God's wisdom, it is. And when God created the heavens and the earth, when yet no plant had sprung up on the earth, because God had not caused it to rain upon the earth and there was no human being to take care of it, on that day when God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam stood a living being, on that day, we understood that we were created. And we were created for a purpose. And that purpose was to take care of our earth. Now, the first thing God did to Adam when God created Adam is he took him from where God had created Adam, and he brought him into the garden that God had planted. And God had brought forth all kinds of vegetation. And he brought Adam into this garden, and he said, "This is yours. Your job is to till it and care for it." And the next thing God did and noticed is that, man, this is a big job. It's a big earth. This is a big planet. There's a lot going on here. I'm going to make a helper. And so out of the ground, God formed every animal and every bird of the air, and he brought them all to Adam to see what Adam would call them. Whatever Adam called them, that's what they were. And yesterday, we had some friends over, and we have a worm bin, which means we take all of our compostable stuff, watermelon rinds and coffee grounds, and we throw it all into this little bucket, and there's a bunch of worms in that bucket. And there's also a bunch of, pill bugs, those cool little bugs. You touch them, and they roll into a little ball. I love those guys. And there's a whole bunch of stuff kind of living in there. It's its own little ecosystem. But there's some stuff we don't want in there. But anyway, Karen just kind of dipped out this teeniest amount. And in the teeniest amount, there were probably 30 worms, and there were a bunch of little synth lands. Those are the bad guys, and there were pill bugs, and God knows how many different types of bacteria and fungus and stuff is very active. Helpers. These are helpers that God created to help us with the purpose of taking care of God's creation. It's spectacular. Just that little teeny, it wasn't near a cubic inch of this compost that Karen brought in. Just absolutely teeming with life, with our helpers, involved in taking that which was not dirt and turning it into dirt so that it can be used to create cucumbers and tomatoes and chard and kale and lettuce and apples and things that we love, things that we use to feed people and animals who are hungry, who God loves. Wow. Really, next time you're just watering a plant and you look at the dirt, consider what an astounding miracle it is and how God entrusted to us the caretaking of the beauty and the complexity of this cycle of life. So God did create us with a purpose. He put us in the garden. He said, here you go. Take care of it. Do what you do with it. Consume it as you will. Stay away from your judgments, the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you get into that, it's going to cause you a lot of pain. But take this good earth and make it your own and work with the other animals. So we had God and we had the animals, we had the garden. It was lush. So much going on, and God said, you know, it's not enough. And so God caused Adam and fall into a deep sleep, and he took his rib. Some say a better translation of that is he actually pulled Adam in half, and out of the other half, he formed the woman, co-equal partners in the journey of life. And I came to an interesting and perhaps even troubling realization this week as I was contemplating these things. This week was more of a contemplating than a studying sermon. But I realized that in this story of creation with Adam and Eve, I've always thought of myself like Adam. I've never realized that I am Eve. Like somehow there's something wrong with that. Like somehow that maybe would be a little bit lesser. But as I feel my way into this passage this week, these passages, and this story, and this time of celebrating that we are together, I realize that if I'm going to live into my humanity, I can't live into my humanity being the one it is all about. In fact, I find myself not to be that person. In truth, I actually find myself to be the helper, the one God created to come alongside of you, my sisters and brothers, to come alongside of people who people the other elements of my life. It's my job to kind of come alongside and to help people live into the best of their possibility, to resource them, to gift them, to take whatever gifts I have, to be genuinely humble, not in that sense of I am nothing, but in that sense that, you know, there's some things I'm really good at and there are some things that I'm not particularly good at. And where I'm strong, to use those strengths to help others to be the best and the strongest they can be, and where I'm weak, to allow others to come in and to be my helper, to help to be Eve to me. And I realize that God is way more wonderful than rigid and concrete interpretations might lend me to believe. And I begin to understand that God really created us to be together. Co-humanity, working with the creatures that God has given us in order to maintain and sustain this earth that God has entrusted to us. And I hope that we will have the wisdom to find our true humanity in true humility, not in grasping after, but in humbling ourselves to accept the journey that God has set before us, that we may live each day into the purpose that God dreams for us, and that we may genuinely be caretakers of this beautiful and fragile planet. May we be the keepers of the dirt. Let us pray. So, Lord, we are just here giving thanks for Royal Communion Sunday. So glad we can't do it alone, and we need those Lutherans and those Catholics. We need those Jews and those Muslims. We need people in all of our states, on the right and the left. We need people in Mexico and Canada and South America and Europe. We need people, we need the animals, we need the creatures in Asia and Africa if we are going to live into your charge to us. May we genuinely find a way to till the ground and to allow the earth to bring forth its beauty. In Christ's name, amen.